Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are on the most efficient way to get the podcast by entering Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine. So, I want to apologize. I have been crazy busy, mainly because I've been working on this video project that I'm doing for college football here in the States. So I thought it was one of those things where I started, I was like, okay, this will take blank amount of time. And then I started to realize I was wrong. It's going to take way longer than that because I've done highlights and so on for a very long time. And if there's someone that I forgot or a scene that I missed, I'll just keep going back and editing and making it longer than it has to be. But I have that behind me now, and I can get back to talking about the kickboxing action I guess for those of you who have been following for a long time, I will go ahead and do my best to go back and we'll add another show for the shows that I missed. I'm going to do a special one. I'm going to talk about all the stadium fighters in Thailand right now, all the champions, well, all the Lumpini champions. I'll probably do that episode on Friday or Saturday. But I will give you two this week to make up for all the time that I missed. So, a lot of kickboxing happened, a lot of kickboxing Muay Thai, a lot of stuff from K1, a lot of stuff from ONE Championships. I'm going to go ahead and jump into a decent amount of it. I caught most of the videos, not all the videos, so I will do this to the best of my ability. We'll jump right into it. So, I'm going to go ahead and start off in Japan, where there was another quality K1 show, as always. A lot of stoppages, a lot of good back and forth, a lot of fun fights. I'll go ahead and jump into the card. I will start off with, I'll mention some results and then get into the action. Seiya defeated Yuta Suzuki, 30-28 in all three cards. Tomo Kuroda gets a victory over Ao Nada, majority draw. Majority draw there, not a decision there. Toma gets a victory over Takito Nimi. And that was unanimous decision I was thinking of. And then we'll get into the first fight that I'm actually going to break down and talk about. Kana gets a victory over Mihiro. So we all know the situation with Kana. We all know what we are trying to accomplish with just female fighting in Japan in general. It's all about the consistency. It's all about the big wins. Just got to build on it, you know, and the platform's there. They will get behind you. There have been setbacks, but for the most part, this win gets her on track. And, you know, it's just all about the internationals that they bring in. That helps build the resume. But good victory here, and hopefully we'll get more from her moving forward in the K1 season. Now we're going to enter the reserve of the tournament, if I'm remembering correctly. I could have that off, but I think it is. So Aoshi gets victory over Tetsuya Sabukahara. Sorry, I practiced it before I started, but whatever, it's my show, I can make mistakes. Tetsuya falls short to Aoshi. Very close fight, 29-29 on one of the scorecards, 30-29 and 29-28 on the other two. Keisa Kondo gets one of the coolest KOs you're ever going to see against Riki Matsuka. The reason why I like it so much is it's a master of the basics. Sitting on the 1-2 heavy is always going to be something that works in combat sports for a long time. And any mitt holder worth their salt is going to have you throw a 1-2. Even bad mitt holders will have you throw a 1-2. So he scored big. Double jab to get himself closer and then dropped a big-time right hand right over the top to score the first knockdown. And I was surprised Riki got up after the first one. Goes back out there. They're standing in front of each other. And just a smooth, close the distance, what I call a leap 1-2, when the left foot covers a little bit more distance than normal. Clumps around clean. Riki goes down. I saw one person on Twitter say he killed him. Like, it was as smooth a KO as you're ever going to see. Kondo moves forward in the tournament. Yudo Shinohara gets a victory over Shinichiro Kawasaki, 28-26. I believe there was a point taken at one period of time, but there were knockdowns exchanged, and there was a knockdown in the fight. It was a fun one. It was a fun one to watch. 28-26 on all three cards is a little bit rare, but cool that it happened. Tetsuya Yamada then sees Keisa Kondo in the next round, scored a couple of knockdowns. I can't remember. I know one of them came from the boxing. I can't remember if there was one from a kick or not, but a couple duck down scores. Tetsuya Yamada moved forward in the tournament. Hideki Yamazaki, just one of the bigger anomalies, because there are times where I think, you know, Yamazaki's going to take that next step and be someone to pay attention to in the weight class. And then there are times where I'm like, why are you here? You know what I'm saying? Like, he seems disinterested. His effort isn't what I would like. Gets a victory here, 30-28, 30-27 twice. In one of the bigger upsets of the year for K1, and one of the bigger KOs of the year, is Ryo Ataka gets a big-time KO over Kermaine Senna. Senna was the champion for them in their cruiserweight division. Dude, the overhand right that Ataka scores is one of the coolest ones. He looks like he's throwing a pitch. Like, he literally closes the distance. Senna was always punching down. He's a shorter guy. Ryo is a shorter guy. So Senna was always punching down, but he backs himself up in the corner. Now, I credit Ataka a little bit for using pressure with the feet to get him there, but this happened before the fight even really got going. We're still in round one. And he gets him into the corner, and he just unloads. And it's almost like he leaned back and thought his lean would get him out of the way. Instead, it just, you know, got him in the range of the Death Star, because when that scored, he was gone. Big-time KO. Can't wait to put that on the year, my highlight for the KOs of the year, because it really was a beautiful shot. Just an absolute kill shot right over the top. So, good stuff there by Ataka. Yoshihiro Kido then gets a victory over Antonio Gomez. The setup for this, it's the exact same setup, but it worked, and it's just all about the location of the strike. Elite people aim when it comes to head kicks. For my students, when I work at my gym here in Fort Worth, Texas, I always talk about how making things look the same and how elite people have the ability to throw the same shot that looks like it's going to the exact same place and it lands in a different location. They just have that ability. Now, Yoshihiro Kido has never been a guy, for as long as I've been paying attention to his kickboxing career, I will never look back and say I've considered him elite. I've considered him solid. I've considered him good. But elite, I've never seen that. But if you've been in this game for a while, you can still do what I would consider elite techniques. And in this one, he has he kills dead space with a slight head nod, drops. It's like he looks like he's looking for an outside rear low kick because he's good at scoring those. And then he brings the kick high, scores the knockdown. First time it happened, Gomez is like, he smiled, like, can't believe that got me. You know, like he's like, it just was a good score. Gomez gets back up. So then the next time, the entry looks exactly the same. This time, Gomez has the right glove up, but the right glove comes just above the cheek. And the kick came above the glove. Scored right around the tempo. Scores a big knockdown. He got up for a little bit. Gomez got up, game to try to fight. And the next thing you know, he went in that corner. And it's almost like the concussion waved over him and he sat down. It reminded me of when Dude was fighting Tyron Spong, where he scores the big shot, you're hurt, you get to your feet, and then all of a sudden something's going on in your head and you feel like, all right, maybe I should be sitting down for a little bit, and then that's it. It was that kind of a response after the big head kick scored. So shout out to Kido. He moves forward, still one of the more entertaining characters in kickboxing. Kimura Minoru gets another big-time victory by KO, this time over Sho Oizumi. And let's be honest, Oizumi is... I guess I haven't seen anything in his skill set as of late to make me think that he'd be anything more than the guy that Kimura is going to knock out. Like, I knew he would just come in and have a difficult time with the guy he was brought in to fight. He goes in there, looks to be aggressive with his offense, but once Minoru realizes that you don't have the power to hurt him, which very few people do, but if he realizes that he can just bang it out, you guys are going to bang it out, because he's a physical specimen for the weight class, and he's going to throw heat until you're done. Scored several knockdowns in this one, 3 knockdowns in the first round, gets in the stoppage. Sho couldn't do anything because it had already gone downhill. The guy he was fighting was just too strong, just too much of an athlete, too much of a physical specimen. The KO streak continues. Kimura Minoru is having a good year. You know, he struggles against the elite. Every once in a while, he's got an upset here and there, but for the most part, he struggles against the elite. But right now, he's putting together the kind of fights that could give him the confidence to be that killer again. So, we'll see. Masaki Nori, my son, gets a victory over Sami Lemieux by knockout in the second round. There were 78 knockdowns in this fight because Nori just realized he had such a huge advantage. He's growing into his body now. A guy who once upon a time, you know, was in Koshin, and he has slowly moved himself up, getting himself ready. I think eventually he will settle at 70 kgs. And then I'm hoping that he then becomes a player on the world stage. Still a guy, you know, into, you know, mid to late 20s, plenty of time. But his body's stronger. There's more muscle there. Was able to score. Lemieux, it was weird because Lemieux was game to compete, you know, like looking to throw. But he just kept getting walked down because Nori can knock you. He can walk you down because of his style and his height and the way he holds his guard. He'll creep you down, and then once he finds his offensive moments, man, does that guy rip to the body. So, series where he threw some big shots downstairs, Lemieux went down. Series where he threw some more shots, another Lemieux goes down. He went down, I want to say, I jokingly said 78, but in truth, it's probably 70. He went down a lot in this fight. And at the very end, after several knockdowns had scored, Lemieux was backed up, and then Nori scored a beautiful knee. Right as Lemieux was throwing a shot, and then it's like he was trying to will himself to not go down despite his body wanting to give up, and then the body just gave up and he went down. There must have been some words or something exchanged, because normally Masaki Nori, after he gets his stoppage or his KO, usually steps away, or if he does anything, he'll do it for the crowd. He doesn't really do it to the fighter. But he had some words and had an ill look for Lemieux, so something must have happened during the fight that maybe I missed. But he got the KO, moves on, still one of the bigger fighters in Japan. If you're talking about the big five, I definitely have Masaki Nori on that list. You know, I've got Nori and Tenzin and Dekiru. Like, he's one of those guys. Those are the guys I would consider the most important five in kickboxing. So, good job in Japanese kickboxing. So, good job for Masaki Nori. He moves on. Kenta Hayashi gets a victory over Denise Demir Kapu. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. Very fun fight. Denise got up going early, got in his face, scored some knockdown on Kenta with the boxing, and then it's almost like he gassed himself out, maybe the adrenaline, maybe going for the stoppage, but all of a sudden, here comes Kenta, and Denise didn't have it anymore. Kapu was game to throw back, but you can see his energy and everything just wane, and Kenta, steady, kept working, kept scoring, walked him down, landed some good boxing, and both times that Demir Kapu went down, it didn't seem like it was from the most damaging of shot. It just looked like he had just been worn down. He was trying to fight back, and his body gave up on him. So Kenta gets a stoppage in the second round, right at the end of the second round, if I remember correctly. Again, Kenta Hayashi, I'm okay on him. You know, I think that there are times where I love him and times where I'm like, all right, this guy's just all right. But good victory for him, and we'll see how K1 uses him moving forward. Koji Tetsuya Aoi gets a victory extension round, split decision victory. It's one of those things where it's... it was a good fight. And it won't be remembered to me like other fights in the card were remembered. Because it was close. But I thought that because of the knockdowns offered in the other fights, I remember those a little bit better. But Koji gets a victory over Iowa in a split decision in an extra round. I didn't get all of this fight, but I do think that Tetsuya Iowa is a very capable fighter, and he's capable of beating Koji. It just wasn't his night tonight on the scorecards. So Koji moves forward, and that wraps up our K1 2019 Grand Prix. Fun stuff, a lot of good fights, as I mentioned before. It's cards like that make people love K1 and love that they're still around and love that they're still doing high-level stuff, and, you know, as a fan, I want to see the best fight the best, so I want to see more of those kind of cards, and we'll see where things go moving forward. I am going to take us over to Moldova now. We're going to talk about ex-Glory fighter, Pavel Zverev as he gets victory on this card over Mehmet Ozar. Pavel Zverev, now fighting at heavyweight, is an absolute monster truck. This guy is freaking huge. And he is came out, landed some really good offense with the boxing because Pavel Zverev, he hits so hard that if you go to your earmuffs, he'll just punch right behind your earmuffs, hard as he can. He uses his post hand a lot just to make sure that your hand's kind of covering. That, you know, he wants your gloves on your head. So as soon as you put his gloves, like, and he pushes at your face, people usually tend to put the glove there, and he just starts looping around the corner. Like, that's how he gets down. So he kept banging away, trying to get that KO, scored a couple knockdowns. Then in round two, as he's punching heavy upstairs, he decides to open up, and he lets go a bodacious body kick. Ozar took it, didn't even go down to him. He just kind of fell into the ropes, if I remember correctly, and just bent over and stayed bent over. And Zverev is celebrating. He knows he hit the spot. How many guys have he KO'd over the years? He knew he hit the right spot. Ozar was in trouble and then was not able to return or was not able to answer the ref. Kind of walked off as the ref was trying to see if he wanted to fight. Ref rightly waved it off. Pavel Zverev gets the victory here. Afterwards, cool scene. Family came in there and good win for him. Good win for him. Zora Akpanyan gets a victory over Konstantin Rusa by extra round split decision at 71 kgs. Quality 71 kg tournament. Very good talent throughout. So this is the tournament. Split decision, split decision, split decision. That's how it was. Extra round split decision should be noted for the final one. So that's how close this was. Konstantin Rusa gets a split decision over Furkan Karabag. And then Zora Akpanyan gets a victory over Stanislav Kazitsantsev. And that was in the tournament open. And then the tournament final saw Zora Akpanyan gets a victory over Konstantin Rusu. Very, very entertaining, very talented guys. I just got clips of this, didn't get the whole of the fight. Zora I've seen fight before, talented guy, want to see more from him moving forward. Konstantin Rusu is actually very talented, just we're one judge away from me talking about him in this way. So good job from them, for both of those athletes. David Mejia gets a victory over Simon Santana. Simon Santana is your consummate journeyman in kickboxing. This guy will fight anybody, anywhere, and I see him on European cards all over the place. So good job by David Mejia winning there. Martin Kuchendik gets a victory over Joao Silva. Joao Silva has been in this game for a long time, so that's a very good win for Martin Silva. Well, I won't say in this game for a long time, but I'll say in a 3-4-5-year period of time, I've seen him pop up on fight cards all over the place. So good job for the win by Mladen there. Vladislav Melnik gets a victory over Chingiz Lail. And then Oleg Lik, excuse me, I'm going to spell this one wrong. Lik Torovich, oh, actually got it. And then Zokar Pavelko, Oleg gets the victory there. And then Marine Varelli gets a victory over Ivan Zolar, TKO. So that wraps up the card by FEA World Grand Prix. This is the third show that I pay attention to them. This past year, I wanted to make a point to pay attention to them more. I hadn't been, so I was able to get down and really focus on this card. In particular, because before it started, Tahir Adamchuk was one of the guys on it. You know, him and then Araj Pispor, Azapur were guys that were slated to be on the event, so I was paying attention because of that. But man, they've got, you know, some really good guys out there, and I was really, really pleased with how this card was put together. We'll see what the future holds, but I hope they just do a good job of getting their content on YouTube quickly, and then that way I can break stuff down a little bit more in a full. So that will wrap up that card. And note that Zverev moving back up to heavyweight makes him immediately one of the guys to pay attention to in the weight class, because he was up, he was below it, then he was up there, and then went back down. So always fun to pay attention to him and the things that he brings to the kickboxing world. All right, so we're going to go to one championship. I will go ahead and go to the, I believe it was September 6th was this card. So we're going to go to it. Of course, not going to talk about the whole thing. Just going to talk about the Muay Thai fights, because There were, well, hold on. This card was all Muay Thai and kickboxing. There's another card I was thinking of that had some MMA in it, but let's jump right into it. Michael Fan gets a victory over Mahmoud Fakhri Ben Youssef by unanimous decision. Victoria Lipanska gets a victory over Amber Kitchen by split decision. So Lipanska is talented. Amber Kitchen is young, and they invested in her. She gets a pretty good paycheck. That is the daughter of many-time world champion and former best fighter in the world, Julie Kitchen. Amber, of her twin daughters, was the one who really decided to stick with it and kind of take it. She's very talented. Decided to stick with the sport, and it brought her that opportunity. Amber Kitchen gets out there, puts on a good show, but loses close to savvier Muay Thai fighter and Victoria Lipanska. But definitely good job on the effort by Amber, and we'll see what comes of that. I know the goal is to get young, fighters all over the world, but this one didn't go Amber's way. Muay Thai, another Muay Thai rules is Momotaro, as he defeats Sing Tong Nui by knockout in the first round. I saw the clip of the knockout. So it was a good knockout, but I would have liked to see a little bit more of the fight, because I wanted to see a little bit more from Momotaro, because I hadn't seen him as much to make a good breakdown of him. But shout out to him on this victory. And hey, if you can be done in 41 seconds, be done in 41 seconds. Kickboxing, Santino Verbeek gets victory over Juan Cervantes by majority decision. Close one there. Verbeek, of course, popular name. Some of us, you guys are familiar with it. A lot of people in Holland have that name, and there's a female kickboxer with that last name. Another Muay Thai, Mongkol Pech of Pechindi Academy. A lot of Pechindi fighters are making their way. It's all because of your manager, but they're making their way over to and competing in ONE Championship. Gets a victory over Joseph Lasiri by majority decision. Pan Payak, you guys know that name, one of the better fighters in the world, one of the better fighters from Thailand, gets a victory over Mashihide. Kudo, unanimous decision there. Pan Payak just, and again, there's two of them, it's a popular name, but Pan Payak goes out there, gets the business done. And that was in kickboxing rules, so shout out there. Bai Nguyen gets a victory over Puju Tumar. I know Bai Nguyen because she's fought in our area before. She's come by the gym, trained with one of the fighters I used to work with back in the day. Nice girl. Happy she got the victory and split decision fashion. Chris Nguyen defeats Yukinori Akasawara. Muay Thai did not get to see this fight, just saw the results. Shout out to Chris Nguyen for that victory. Anderson Broderick Silva back in the winning category. He gets a victory over Bay Bolot Isuiv by knockout uppercut. Good stuff. Anderson Broderick Silva is the has gloves, will travel. Just a guy down to fight whoever there is to fight. I've always been a fan of his all over the place, from kickboxing to fighting in glory to trying to get into the UFC to, not winning on those opportunities to ending up outside of the show and trying to work his way back. I mean, it's just real cool. It's cool to see that that Anderson stayed in the game long enough to make money for so many different companies. So shout out there. Nguyen Tran Duy Nhat gets a victory over Aswan Chi Will by knockout overhand right. Good stuff there. And then some names you are familiar with. Cool Dom gets a victory over Babu Sako. Babu Sako, of course, has been doing his thing in France for a long time. Good fighter, good management. He's had opportunities against elite fighters there in France and international before. But Kulam Don is Kulam Don. We're talking about one of the elite Thais. Very, very talented guy. No shame in losing there. Sako, just, his gym and that history of and his history as a fighter, he's down to fight anybody. So you expect to hear from his name again. Nang O gets a split decision victory over Price Delval. Delval is very talented. He's good. And I've seen him fight several times, and he's lost, but he usually loses close. Just really cool to see his name on this list and to see him out competing and trying to do big things with his career. So shout out to him. And it's tough when you're going against someone elite. And Nang O is someone elite. And there is such a thing as giving your best effort, but running into someone better. And I know it's something that I've talked about on this show before, and it's something that a lot of people don't want to admit is possible. Most people want to think that if they won or lost a fight, it was because how they didn't listen or they listened to their coach. Like they want to attach it to something like that. But in truth, that's just not how this game works. In truth, there is such a thing as there's a person that's more talented than you, just like there is in football, American football, and like there is in soccer, like there is in everything that there is out there in this world. There is such a thing as someone is more talented. That's just kind of how this game's going to be forever. And I think in that situation, you ran into a better guy. Something that we'll talk about here in a moment. As we go to another tournament for another fight from ONE Championship, this one happened a little bit longer. It happened right around the time that I took my break, but I wanted to go back and visit it because it had some particularly interesting movement with Elias Inahachi and so on. So we'll go ahead and go into the August 16th ONE Champion card for Dreams of Gold, I believe. Is the announcement, and it talks about the million-dollar tournament that they're doing at 70 kgs and so on. So I'll go ahead and jump into some of those fights. Alverdi Ramazanov gets a victory over Ogden Topic TKO. That's a big-time win. Ramazanov, very talented. Topic's very good. So when that happened, I was like, you know, one of the better guys fighting out of the States just ran into a better guy in this night. Very, very good performance, my Ramazanov. Next Muay Thai fight, Bangli Noi gets a victory over Leah Nolan, my majority decision. Didn't get to see that one, but shout out to Bangli Noi. Next one, Larzela gets a victory over Sevas Michael, TKO in the second round. Lurdzilla's got talent. He's fought all over the place. He usually fights up. He's one of the funner people to watch on the pads. He's a talented guy. I always wonder what happens when he fights another elite person, though. I feel like there's an elite level or a level of guy that he should beat. And I think Sevas Michael is good, talented, but the kind of guy I expect Lurdzilla to be. But I think when you look at some of the major ties out there, I think that he struggled, if I'm thinking of the right Lurdzilla. But I could have mixed this one up because I only just I saw several clips of stoppages in this fight, and I don't have them in front of me. So please forgive if I got the wrong guy. But Lurdzilla gets a victory over McCall and moves forward. Muang Thai defeats Kenta Yamada. You guys know how I feel about Muang Thai. Brings the war all the time, you know, and they're putting him in small gloves. So, you know, like he's just, no matter what, small gloves, big gloves, Thai Stadium, you know, backyard, this guy brings an aggressive fight, and he's a lot of fun to watch. So good stuff from Muay Thai, and I hope to see more from him moving forward. We go into the kickboxing tournament now. Sami Sana gets a victory over Jabir Askarov. Askarov did better than I thought in terms of, you know, he's good, but he's aged, and he's not what he used to be, but he's still a talented guy, and he has fought everywhere for every promotion, and he just continues it. He's able to make money as a prize fighter this late in his life. Contender Asia was more than 10 years ago. Like, this guy just keeps plugging away. So shout out to Askarov, who just keeps doing it. But just ran to Sami Sana, who showed so much talent in his win over Yotsen Klai. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see what happens with Sana moving forward. Unfortunately, what happens is Georgia Petrosian. Georgia Petrosian was able to beat Joe Nottawatt by knockout. He's bigger and he's better. Nottawatt, who's, you know, down to fight, had no chance against the better Georgia Petrosian. Georgia Petrosian, when this term was put together, it had one intrigue, the fact that he was going to fight Yotsen Klai. Once Yotsen Klai was out of the tournament, then he was out of the tournament. Then they did the thing to get him back into the tournament. The intrigue was gone. There's no one in their right mind would pick anyone other, you know, than, I mean, it's Georgia Petrosian, so everyone's going to pick Georgia Petrosian anyways, but no one in the right mind would pick any of that four to be even competitive with him because he's that good. If Sami Sana can pull off an upset, that would surprise me, you know, it surprised me when he beat Yotsen Klai because Yotsen Klai had already beaten him. But we'll see if he can at least make the fight, the kind of fight it is to make it a little bit closer on the scorecards, because in the end, as soon as this tournament was made, I just felt like they should have just given George Trojan $1 million. So the moment that Yotsenkai was out, I felt like they should just give him George Petrosian $1 million. So then all the intrigue and so on that happened after the fight happened. So who knows what will happen when these two meet. So Sami Sana and Georgia Petrosian go at it in October for the championship in Japan. Ilias Anahachi gets a victory over Pitch Dom 4, and it was a knockout. Just smooth. Ilias is good, man. Like, this dude, Anahachi is a very, very talented guy, but this win just cemented him as the guy. You know, 135 pounds, he is their champion. They just need to get behind him. The problem with their champions is there's not a lot of push behind them because you don't know necessarily who's going to get the title shot. And then when you look at who has the title shot, you're not sure how to be excited or not excited of them because they do so many shows that there's not enough lead up to it. It's just more, it's happening and no one's really getting behind it. But talent is not the issue. Like, they definitely have a lot of talent. It's just the map. People need to see the map better to get behind the fighter. So, but other than that, still a good card. And Ilias Hanahachi is a talented, talented guy who's been doing it in Europe, going over there, getting big wins. I'm excited to see what happens with him moving forward. They just got to give me a little bit more intrigue for his fights, other than beat Major Tai. But good stuff there. Good stuff by ONE. Good stuff by K1. Good stuff by kickboxing and Muay Thai as usual. So I'll be back in a couple days, and I'm going to do a breakdown of the current Lumpini champions. There's going to be something that moved and missed, so I'll tell you guys the source that I use. I'm going to use Siam Fight News, and I'm going to break down why the guys are special, why you want to watch them. So thanks for listening. God bless, and you guys have a good one. I apologize again for the break, but enjoy the podcast. Peace.